Hello and welcome to another edition of the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And tonight's episode is 1973's The Baby. Not so much a horror movie as
We're going to have to set expectations for this film.
Horror bull situation.
I thought it was interesting. Like, the way you said the title of The Baby, I think, was scarier than anything that happened
the baby.
In the movie.
The Baby.
Killer.
But it's not that it doesn't have its horror, I don't want to say horror pedigree, because that would be wrong. But, I mean, it's listed in so many places as a cult horror film and a horror film. The horror movie A Day Guy has done it as one of his movies. So it's not that it's outside of the genre in that sense, but the movie itself wasn't horror.
Would this be considered exploitation?
It verged.
Where would we put this?
More than it was horror. I mean, honestly, the last scene is where it got. Well, not the last, very last scene. I guess the climactic scene,
right?
Not the denouement.
Brian, tell us about climaxes.
Climaxes are when you drop a load.
I'm not going there.
You've been there.
I've been there.
But I mean, that was the thing. The big last climactic scene was kind of horrific in that '90s. Some psycho nanny is coming to kill you kind of way.
Yeah,
right.
It felt like a precursor to what, like the not like the faux thrillers that we've seen in the last two decades. So like, I think we need to classify it, but it's hard to classify. It's not a bad movie. It's just I kept waiting for something. I wanted something horrible to happen, but nothing horrible happened until the end.
I gotta say, it is one of a kind. I don't know if I've ever seen something. I mean, I've seen porns that have had many a situation like what we watched last night. Many times it's like, no fucking's gonna start soon. Rated PG.
Weird. I wonder if it wasn't prurient enough, honestly. Yeah. That was one thing I had thought. Like, if you're going to go that route and take this really strange story and then not really do anything with it.
I agree. And I think I would have liked this movie and found it more horrific or horror-related if it had been more bizarre. It didn't feel bizarre enough. Like, it needed something very arch and strange. Like, I think this movie could be well done by, like, you know, David Lynch. If he did this movie, how crazy would it be?
There are definitely moments where I thought, like, I like Tim Burton lifted all sorts of scenes from this, like especially the sister with the crazy hair and that weird purple light halfway through that the movie with them in the party. Like, Tim Burton has taken a lot from this movie. So let me give you a little synopsis,
please,
of what IMDb
it's supposed to be
has said about it. A social worker who recently lost her husband investigates the strange Wadsworth family. The Wadsworths might not seem too unusual to hear about them at first, consisting of the mother, two grown daughters, and the diaper-clad, bottle-sucking baby. The baby is 20 years old. That baby was 42, if he was anything. Yeah. Rated PG.
Yeah, he was in the Bee Gees if he was a day.
Yeah.
And
the opening titles? Was that the opening titles or the end of the film?
Well, what's weird is, like, the movie feels very... The synopsis works, but I thought that there would be a more sinister, you know, air to it, a more sinister whatever, but it is kind of a straightforward... Yes, she finds these people weird, so she investigates them. Unlike Dirty Harry in Magnum Force.
Everybody is okay with what's going on.
Yeah.
That was the strangest part to me. Like, nobody questions. This is just what... This is life.
I think the movie would have been better if they had had a 21-year-old baby, but everyone thought it was a baby. Like, no one acknowledges that it's a full-grown baby, that if it were...
Did they acknowledge he was full-grown at all?
Maybe they did.
Because nobody else.
Yeah, they said he grew. Like, he just never went beyond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the movie would have been more bizarre and more Burton-esque, I think, if no one had acknowledged. If everyone played as if, like, Lars and the Real Girl, where if everyone thought. Pretend like it was a baby.
Well, I think you'd need one character who wouldn't, and that would be your main person. But that would also throw in a whole wrench into the actual plot that was devised here. You'd have to make her be sane, and honestly, she's no more sane than they are.
Anyone else? No one in this movie is sane. Mm-hmm. The most sane person is the like male social worker who we see in one scene. Yeah. No, he is sane, square. And that's it. Yeah, no. He's the square.
I do like the Netflix description because it's a little more descriptive of some of the people. A social worker visits an odd family that includes a domineering mother, two trashy sisters, and an adult son who wears diapers and sleeps in a crib.
I wonder, it feels like it should have been more white, trashy, or like the. I kind of expected the baby to just be some dipshit who refused to grow up, kind of like Matthew McConaughey.
And I guess the one thing that bothered me was that he wasn't. He looked too normal. Like you expect him if he was a baby, like those fat, just fat, overweight, chubby. You know, Michelin
would you
man
expect him like a rattle and bib?
Yeah, exactly. Like the fat baby in Spirited Away that the Miyazaki.
We know the film. I'm kidding.
The score is that Ennio Morricone's score?
It was.
Because at
it
the
was
beginning,
good.
I was like, Jesus Christ! It's like I'm going into How the West Was Won.
I liked the score was really good. I mean, did you like
classic 70s? At first, there are a couple of notes in here of like, what the hell is going on?
But when is the gore?
I would say overall, people need to watch this movie.
Yeah.
You need to see the baby.
It's just different. I mean, I didn't. I liked it. I was disappointed because I was wanting more from it, but I liked it still.
Audiences everywhere say, you need to see the baby.
Yes. It was a good movie, but it doesn't really fit in our format.
The Horrible Podcast.
The Horrible Podcast. Fills the entire cover. Yes. But it just doesn't fit our format. And, like, it doesn't feel like a horror movie because it doesn't have those elements. It's odd, but it's not odd enough. Like, if the movie were more odd, I would feel much more comfortable. Like, if it had been more like last third of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where we're just like, who the fuck are these people? But even they just seem like deluded and overprotective, but not completely and utterly insane.
Why... Drew, you usually choose the movies for us, so why did you choose this movie?
It's called The Baby. What other reason?
It's a 70s clad, you know, that short skirt, pantsuit looking girl and a baby's crib with legs sticking out of it. So who knows what was going on?
Yeah, I expected it to be more cultish.
I mean, that would be the thing. I like the 70s. I like cult movies, and this sounded odd, so I was like, why not check it out?
And to be honest, I kind of thought, oh, the baby, Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, something
kinda
like
thing
that.
Too. Mm-hmm. I kind of just made those parallels because I thought that's what it would be like.
I mean, and the filmmaker's not he's not a bad filmmaker. He later went on to make Magnum Force, which is one of the Clint Eastwood, you know,
also
70s
directed
top
Beneath the Planet of the Apes, the second.
Really?
Apes, yeah.
So he's an accomplished filmmaker, and it's a well-done movie. It just, I don't know. I mean, it feels like sort of a...
Well, Miss Wadsworth is obviously a man in woman's makeup.
Also, I would say Miss Wadsworth has never met a cigarette she did not like.
She did not smoke, at least.
She has never not smoked a cigarette.
Also, the two daughters, the blonde, I wouldn't have minded seeing her naked through this movie.
Well, y'all, like, the one scene where she's wearing the wraparound tied up at the top, like, you get the front butt right there where her cleavage is, that was not bad.
Well, but that's one problem when I'm talking about it being, you know, we're talking about the PG, I mean, did it need to be more prurient? Because, I mean, as the movie goes on, it starts out pretty benignly, but strangely, but it jumps right in. We don't get a lot of mystery about it.
Mm-mm.
She goes to this house, and we know that they have a 21-year-old baby, and she sees it, and she's not surprised. And
no, she completely straight-faced about it. It's not like,
I thought
this is fucked.
At one point, I wrote my note here is that I read the description of the movie, so I don't know what I was expecting to happen. You know, I was like, well, this is what, it's pretty much what this description said.
Yeah,
what was I expecting?
Yeah, it's not misleading. It's just, you expect something weird or different.
You just expect more. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing.
As a father of a one-time infant, that kid acts more like a baby monkey at the zoo than he is a child. I'm like, is this a kid or a monkey?
But sounds, do you think that they ADR'd
baby
sounds?
Oh, God, yeah. Because there were a couple times it sounded like a baby, then a couple times it was like, this is not, who is making this noise?
Yeah. So that's Foley work, maybe?
Because
it was pretty weird either way. It's weird to see that coming out of a grown dude.
Yeah. How about how bad Jermaine's teeth are? And
also,
Anne's
okay,
teeth,
so
and
it is Jermaine.
Teeth. Jermaine.
Jermaine, the female character.
And Britt and Jermaine.
Britt and Jermaine.
Do you like physical exercise?
I do. I like mental exercise, thank you, so no. I mean,
that, and then, okay, so Anne Gentry, the psychologist, is just rattling on about her husband, which is obvious that I thought, like, okay, she's lost her husband. She's crazy. Mm-hmm. She's crazy from grief, which we'll, you know, later we'll learn something different. But the
well, I didn't see then what.
Oh no, you missed a big twist, a Shyamalan twist.
How many times did any of you like wait for the nobody puts baby in a corner line? Like, there is one halfway through where,
like,
they
this
start,
is what the director of the Dirty Dancing had used his
Herbert Ross for some reason.
Right,
was like,
they almost say it. Someone almost said, maybe Miss Gentry, nobody takes baby anywhere without me. And when she started with nobody, I was like, oh shit. Yeah, almost.
What do you mean you're doing nothing? You got your goddamn tit in his mouth.
well, that's where we got to the point where the movie could have really, like, it was pretty early, and I thought, this is really going somewhere that I think is going to be interesting. Like, that was a really creepy, sexualized breastfeeding. Like, was the, like, because he's 21,
mm-hmm.
like, but he still acts like a child, and he was trying to nurse, and she was saying, no, baby, let me get you the bottle. And then she finally just decided to just go all out, and then she seemed to be enjoying it. And it was really strange.
A couple of times, like, in the movie where I thought, this guy is just pretending to be a baby.
Yeah, because, me too.
You know, they prod him with the cattle prod and stuff like that, and they make a couple comments about how he's not supposed to stand up, and I thought, this, they're making him act like this for some reason.
Or he's doing it as...
Right. So
we see why he's doing it.
Dude, if I could get random tit in my mouth, acting like a baby, I would do it all the rig.
And let me break the fourth wall and ask our resident vagina, can a woman... Gina, can a woman just choose to breastfeed? Like, yeah, can you just, like,
let me take that one from you, Tyler. No, she can't.
So babysitter just is, you know, that was
she
the
just
thing.
Wants it, you know.
You know,
I, you know what? I
it feels good.
Sure, it always. I mean, you know, you know, it does.
You would make a terrific adult male baby. Though.
Me?
Yes,
yeah, I probably would.
I just imagine.
My problem would be that once
I like
got
a giant
to,
baby,
put him in the diaper
Israeli.
With the rattle. He
once
was just
I
talking about
this,
now.
I think we found next year's Halloween costume, guys.
I think you have.
Someone's gonna change my diaper. I'm gonna shit just, all in my Depends.
Someone will have to because you will be in a closed room with all of them and refuse to change your
and I'll be
number.
Like, ah, baby, 1 minute. And suck on titties all night. Oh, you guys just scored me the best Halloween costume.
Well, I don't feel a need to really talk about plot because it's a fairly plotless movie except for it builds tension in that she becomes the Miss Gentry. Becomes increasingly interested in this baby, and everyone who encounters the baby is not repulsed whatsoever. Becomes interested. I thought it would be a movie of like people can't get enough of this baby, and that's not the movie at all.
Yeah. Well, it did for a little while though. There's the weird thing. It's like, why does everybody want baby so much? Like, what is so special about baby? Is the guy particularly attractive as a child? I didn't understand.
Or
like,
is it like
well, as the resident. Child rapist, as Tyler has liked to describe before.
Thank you for
it
getting
seems
to
like
me.
You get the best of both worlds because you're not going to get arrested, and he acts like a baby. Am I
yeah,
right, guys?
Exactly. So
let me get
Brian is advocating.
Nambla, can you hear me out there?
I was going to say, well, I don't think it's so much that as you advocate for molesting adults mentally.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, fine.
Men that act like babies are perfectly fine to molest.
Okay. Excellent.
Would there be? Would it be wrong to have molested him? He's 21 years old.
Yes.
Why?
He does not have the faculties of an adult.
But did he
an adult?
Not? And that's why I never... I mean, that's where... The
no.
That's what the movie didn't sell me on completely.
I had a couple, yeah, like we said, I had a couple of times where I'm like, he's playing.
Yeah, that
obviously
was where...
Obviously he's playing
well,
because it's
if
a movie,
someone,
but...
Okay, obviously, though, there's a difference between someone pretending to be an infant and someone who has the mental faculties of an infant. That's like...
Oh, agreed.
If you get a baby... If you get someone who has the mind of a baby to rob a bank, do they not go to prison because they're a baby? No.
Do they not go to prison for that?
They do go to prison. Well, they probably go to somewhere. Or do they get off based on not being mentally deficient? I don't know. Okay.
I'm writing notes down for the future.
Yeah,
though,
so
that's what I'll have to act like if I get
so that's our next movie project. Is we're going to write a film about four mentally handicapped people robbing a bank and getting away with it.
Well, let's face it. After watching this movie, do we need to be PC anymore? I mean, because we're talking about 1973, so it surely wasn't.
No.
No.
I haven't heard the R word that many times in quite some time.
Yes.
The R word?
Retarded. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. You know, I wrote that down here. It's like, I'm going to get eyes as soon as we talk about the retarded school they go to. I'm like...
Like in Santa Sangre?
They're going to be waiting for me to make retard jokes.
I actually was.
You were like, you laughed knowing it was coming. You're like, oh God, Brian's going to stick his foot in his mouth on this one. It's going to be amazing.
It comes down to one of those things that, like,
these they are totally making fun of retarded people.
But these are things you don't see in movies outside of the 70s now, though, because we are so PC. Because I watched, as part of the October's for Horrible Lovers, we watched The Sentinel.
You can check out at thehorriblepodcast.com.
Boom.
But, and The Sentinel's from 77, I think it was. Either way, late 70s. And it was lambasted for the final scene in which actual circus freak type people were used in the final scene, and that director was criticized for it. I can only imagine that if you were to look back at this film that today, the scene set in the school for exceptional children is what it would be called today, would be a scene that's like, oh yeah, that scene's exploitative. I don't know if you should, you know, you put that in there nowadays. Yeah, and I don't think you would have that.
Remember
scene.
In American, I think it was American Pie, or American Pie 2, when Jason Biggs' character goes to the camp, and the guy's like, exceptional my ass.
Yeah.
He's playing the flute and acting like he's, you know, exceptional.
Yeah. I think that's the first. So it is the second one.
Yeah, it is.
Let's just talk about American Pie 2.
God, no, what happened to that? What happened to that?
It's not a good one. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
But that was one thing I just thought of, is just how un-PC this decade was, and to some degree,
and
that
pushing
was,
boundaries,
it was liberating. You know, I mean, it's a liberating way to be able to make a movie like this, because nowadays you'd have to tiptoe around so many,
or things. Not tiptoe around it and have it be in a huge hit on straight to DVD.
Yeah,
because I mean, like what we do is we search out those things that are not we don't always see in the theater. So you know, it's nice to see those kind of movies.
Yeah, true.
Do we need to go like through the plot?
No, because there is no plot. She's trying to get... She is working on...
getting this baby.
I don't want to quote the... I can't remember the group that sings Working My Way Back to You, Babe. But she would return... She would change the lyrics to that
song. Give us a couple bars.
I've been working my way to steal this babe with a burning hove inside.
Okay.
Well done. That's good.
Here's the thing. This movie would have, I think this movie would have benefited from going in one of the directions a little more. Like, I almost would have liked it more if she had consciously and, like, very obviously tried to get, and she does get the baby, like, work her, like, wily ways or whatever to get it, but if it had been more conscious and we had seen all the things she was doing to get the baby away, if it turned into sort of like, well,
the legal drama?
She's, yeah, like, well, no.
Kramer
but
versus
like,
Kramer.
Her, she being a social worker had taken more of an effort, like, making them seem crazy so she can get it.
Right,
but,
she didn't
and, like,
really do that. She...
Because then we'd be able to see the flip of, like, oh, she's our protagonist, but she's also a bad person. I would have liked that. That like,
and
the more ambiguity.
Crazy.
She is, but we don't see the moral.
There is so much crazy in this movie.
We don't see the moral ambiguity early on. Early on, it's just played off like, oh, you're spending too much time with this case. And you just think, like, oh, she's just oddly interested instead of...
You can
of,
see it in her eyes.
Well, and it was confusing early to some degree because you're like, it's like, it seems that baby reminds her of her dead husband. Well, we've seen pictures of it and they don't look
anything
alike.
They don't look alike at all.
No, and I wonder if it's one of those things where I'm just failing as a viewer to see the connection that the filmmaker wants me to get because it's actually not there, but
no,
I feel like it's a failure
on my part. I didn't get that
part.
Either,
no,
but that's
no,
a good
until
point.
Until the very end when with the...
When things happen?
When things happen, it's... It kind of it caught me off guard because I didn't see that at all. Is that was what
I did. There's one line earlier that leads you to see it. So when it came up, I got it. She talks about just about having playmates. Way earlier in the movie, she talks about him having a playmate and very briefly. And so when it comes up to the end, it's like it
just pushes that seed in the hole and then covers it up for later. And then boom, later tomato plant.
They're like, hey, check out these hot girls. Watch this one as she tries to carve wood and it's attached
she tries
to the wall.
To whittle.
She does. She's like, is she cleaning wood or just chopping at this wood in the living room?
Well, I mean, and that's still where it goes so weird. It's like, it has this strange exploitative vibe going. Like, it's a very sexualized movie.
Without any sex at all.
And, well, and that also
there's
does
that one scene where Jermaine comes in there and she's like, well, I'm obviously going to ride this.
But.
This kid is retarded, but that dick ain't retarded.
But saying obviously, I think, is a failure of the movie because it's not obvious. Like, we get that, all right, she takes off her negligee and gets into bed with and gets into a crib with baby.
Yes.
But then that's it, and we don't have any sense of what's going on, and it never gets brought up ever later again at all. There's no payoff to that at all. Like, is it a weird incestuous relationship, but why is everyone so crazy? Like, what is truly going on?
It's the 70s.
Here?
Everyone
also
looks
David Tell joke.
I had to point
it out.
That was my next point. I was like, let me go ahead and give thanks to David Tell for that basis of that joke. I was going to say it, Tyler. Right? Okay. I was waiting for Drew to finish talking.
David Tell, not David Tell. Brian Bleep.
Right. What was it? What was that Brian Bleep called?
Skanks for the Memories. Yes.
Those titties. She may be retarded. Those titties ain't retarded.
Just keep saying it.
She's retarded, but that vagina's not retarded. I mean, she's retarded, but that asshole ain't retarded.
I did think, and that was the one thing, though. Like, there were some scenes early on that really set me up to think it was going to be creepy, like rubbing the medicine on baby's legs, and I'm like, this is...
Breastfeeding.
The breastfeeding.
It's just how enamored everyone gets with the baby. Like, I found it really off-putting.
Right, and that would have made it a good creepy exploitation film is if it had kept going to that angle where, like...
And, like, women getting naked in front of him.
Yeah, and like the baby, like, seeing it in his face that he actually knows what he's doing, like, enjoying what's going on. Like,
or not, I don't even know, because that's the thing. That's the place where I'm not really sure where I want that to go. I don't know if I want baby to actually... to be cognizant of what's going on, or baby to...
I think it'd be much creepier if it wasn't. If these people were just, like, weird around this thing, this person who can't...
This freak, like the babysitter calls him?
Oh, this person who is not aware of everything.
How about when the family comes back from their outing and the babysitter starts getting thrown around, the stunt double?
Oh, that was the worst.
She's like, it was ridiculous. Like, she couldn't take a slap from the...
That terrible wig on the stunt double? I mean, it was the worst looking stunt double
I do
ever.
Know, though...
It was someone's grandmother.
After watching this movie, where Andy Serkis got his inspiration for Gollum and King Kong from, he studied the guy who played Baby, because this guy was Oscar caliber.
Yeah. David Manzi, I think, is his name.
I don't know. I looked everywhere for those sister, like the family, like the women naked. I was like, oh, they have to be naked in some movie in the 70s.
Were they in any other movies?
Yeah, they were in a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
mostly like Matlock episodes.
Yeah, lots of TV.
The one sister, Jermaine, looks like Jamie Presley, I think. Or maybe
hair was crazy.
No, not her. The other one, the really blonde
Alba.
One.
Yeah, the one who had that, like, the permanent, you know, frown on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know if I can't decide if. It's in that Jamie Presley way, though, where she's not really pretty, but she's attractive.
There's something about it.
Yeah, it's a strange thing.
Jermaine's hair is crazy.
Yeah, and when she says occasionally I do a commercial, I'm like, yeah, wig commercials. Yeah.
Jermaine's hair is crazy.
You're a Brett girl?
And then at the party. It gets bananas.
I don't even know what's going on with that.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Like, Tim Burton has taken, like, Catherine O'Hara's hair. Like, that's what he used for inspiration for Catherine O'Hara's hair from Beetlejuice.
Right. Yeah.
It is the most Lynchian of all the things that happen in this film.
But like, oddly enough, it makes more sense than a David Lynch movie.
Yeah, it does. Like, playing darts, I was like, something has to happen with the darts. But nope, just... leading me on.
And she makes all those... And Anne Gentry makes all those little comments, like, you know... Like a motivational speaker would make. It's like, well, if you're going to hang with the big boys, you got to learn how to play ball.
Like, what if that scene had gone on for 45 minutes?
It just, almost felt like it did.
I really expect this movie to have just, like, something in the middle where you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
it was. His name was Dennis at the party.
Michael Pataki, who is in Halloween 4 and Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
Part of me wishes it had one of those, like, weird 70s. Like, there's this movie... called Charlie's, based on Flowers for Algernon, which also could fit in a discussion about this movie.
Who's in that? Cliff Robertson?
I think so. But there's, in the book, there's the scene where this guy who has mental issues, he gets smarter, and in the book, it's just like, oh, he gets smarter, but then he starts to get dumber again, spoiler alert. But in the movie...
All the high schoolers right now are like, I gotta put this book away.
Oh, okay. Cliff, but anyway, like in the movie, he gets smart, and then there's like a 10 or 15 minute, like, I'm smart, so I'm going to party and do drugs scene. Like, they drive through the desert and shit. I expected one of those here where, like, baby and other people are just, like, doing weird things, like the zoom-in laughing shots or something.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I wanted something, like, some 10-minute weird sequence. I was like, that doesn't fit. I like it. But it didn't happen, but I guess the party kind of does that.
It was just that strange. They invited every mod swinger they could think of to this party.
And the best dancing I've ever seen. I watched a video of Tom Jones singing What's New Pussycat a couple weeks ago. Someone had posted it on Reddit about, this is why Tom Jones is great. And like 2 minutes in, he tears off on the whitest dance I've ever seen. And I was watching, I was like, God, this is amazing. Yeah. I would be okay in the 70s.
Yeah, we were just born in the wrong decade.
Can we bring pantsuits back for women? That was a sweet look.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, like the high-waisted pants and to show off the gluteus maximus.
What's new, Pussycat? I'll tell you what
Whoa!
You both sound like the voice there. But the one thing that I think...
She's a lady!
Sorry.
These hands from Edward Scissorhands.
Directed by Tim Burton. Usual to have
fun. Well, Tom Jones is...
But man, Anne Gentry loves the knit dresses.
She does.
She was all over those things the entire movie. Or they were all over her.
She had something going on with her teeth and lips. I think it was a herpes.
It's called
sore.
The 70s.
Yeah, right? Yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, the cold sore.
Like, yeah, definitely. Well,
it's just a cold sore. It's not herpes.
Well, I'll tell you, sorry. It showed up and it was gone, and it showed up and it was gone.
She's totally making out with the director.
We'd like to take this moment to announce that we are going to have a spinoff podcast, and it's going to be called what will we call our podcast? It's about how females dress in horror movies, because we could spend a little more time talking about costume makeup, or we could talk about herpes in 1972.
I thought it was going to be a Tom Jones podcast. I was just saying, it's not unusual to talk about Tom Jones.
Oh, my God.
That's what I thought we were going.
How about, that dress looks like murder on you, a Same. Horrible podcast fashion.
Yes.
Did you kill a bum to wear that?
I think, again, we just call it the 70s.
Dumpster diving.
The horrible dress cast.
I just didn't understand. I didn't understand the sore on her lip that it was like, it just, they just couldn't do anything with it. It's like, oh, well, today you got it.
Yeah.
Makeup's not here today, Anne. My name's not Anne.
Well, she also had weird 70s eyebrows. Everyone's eyebrows were like skeletally thin. It's like they'd all lost weight in their eyebrows.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose, you know, I could lose a pound or two right off my forehead, so, because I think it's going to be, just give me the right look.
How about, too, how many out-of-focus shots there are in this movie?
Like, I didn't notice that. But
there were a couple of them where I'm like, obviously they didn't get this in focus and couldn't go back.
You sure that was that, or you were out of focus when you were...
No, I was pretty lucid for this. Okay. I knew what was going on with this. In fact, it's funny you mentioned that. I had drank a huge thing of coffee before this, and I got brought some coffee during the middle of it from Starbucks. So I was awake. I was raring to go.
Excellent.
Right.
Where do we go from here, guys?
I there are several places. One thing I think, though, is this is one of those movies.
How about how heartbreaking it was that Alba was making out with Dennis?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well, man. But it was a purpose to it. I mean, they were trying to outwit him.
She's trying to burn his finger. I'll do anything to get to paradise, but does it have to be in an ambulance?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis.
Weird dialogue.
And then there's like an upside down. He's upside down. Oh,
he was wearing my least favorite set. I love 70s fashion, but I hate
Friends jackets. My mom had one of those in the 80s. Yes. It was black, and it had, like, buckles on the elbows.
Yes, I didn't show it. Did it smell? And did she smoke in the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah, so it had that smell of, yeah.
Leather and smoke.
Hey, isn't that a Stevie Nicks and Don Henley song? Love us forever.
In leather and smoke.
I'll be your leather. Take from me my smoke. That's not right.
Hey, I want to guess. Did anybody look up, see how old that guy was?
He had to be 60.
I mean, he had to have been
35.
What?
Fuck! The 70s were not kind of people.
That guy was fucking nuts into drugs.
I see that and I'm like, I'm older than that guy, but yet he still looks like my grandfather.
My favorite, I did...
Am I been fooling myself? Do I look like I'm that old, guys? No. Okay. Making sure.
No.
A little bit.
If you wore a fringe jacket, maybe.
Yeah, and your hair, like that crazy finish, but like...
70s big.
Wispy.
Still.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Like,
that's when old men really could take advantage of, like, younger women. Because in the 70s, it doesn't matter. Mm-mm. Like, I could be 70, I'm partying with 20-year-olds, it doesn't matter.
Who gives a shit? You have cigarettes and beer.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's all the
cocaine.
I think that was a big part of it.
Or, like, now if I was 70, I had to deal with the 20 years, I'd have to be the real...
Yeah, also
if
the smallest,
right? Wisp of a cigarette he had left there.
His pumpkin seed joint that he was smoking. I'm like, that's not lit. That's not even lit, Dennis.
It couldn't be, because his fingers would have been burning like they were...
Right, like, my fingers have built a forever callus from smoking so many small joints.
Anyway.
These candles aren't going to hurt my... I don't like it when we talk about drugs, Brian. It makes me uncomfortable.
It just wasn't funny, so I was trying to move on.
It was funny, and I think Twitter will tell us that it is.
Excellent. Tweet at BurnCern.
You can actually just email us.
Yeah.
Directly.
Email me about all Brian's shitty comments.
Like, make jokes about Brian. We'll just have a fun relationship about how horrible Brian is.
Yeah, I will be your best friend if you just tell me how much you hate Brian.
And Brian, and it'll be like, oh, and every week we'll spend 10 minutes reading hate mail about Brian.
I would love to read 10 minutes of hate mail about you.
I would love
it. I'll do it on
email
air.
Me, Tyler@thehorriblepodcast.com.
How about we just read this email my wife sent me.
Do it. Yes, Nicole, please just email me Tyler@thehorriblepodcast.com.
Yes.
Get plenty of material there.
I want to know the story behind the silver-haired gent who had the pretty sweet brown leather jacket and black turtleneck rocking at the party. Who was all over mom? Yeah,
his tactile turtleneck.
Yeah, I mean he was all over mother there, and I want to know his story because
you mean the old woman from Peace Dragon? What was her name? She was in, I can't remember her name. She's in a ton of shit. She was in Poseidon Adventure.
Are you talking about the mother?
Yeah.
Ruth Roman.
Yeah, but in the Poseidon Adventure, it wasn't Ruth Roman. It was somebody else. Shelley
Winters.
Yeah, Shelley Winters. That's who she reminded me of. Shelley Winters, Pete's Dragon.
Let's talk about the mom and the two sisters. What is their...
Who's your favorite?
Yes. Well, obviously...
Alda.
Because there's three Alda. Of us. Aldi. There's three of us. There's three of them.
I'll take the mom. I don't care.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care. Let me drink a little bit. We'll be fine. Yeah,
wait,
fine.
I like how's it... So then I get both sisters then, I guess. Because you just both decided
we'll
to take the mom. Team the mom.
We'll double team the mom. We'll have to double team her. Obviously, that vagina's been stretched out. Because don't tell me that she has not tried to put baby back up there.
Gross.
Yeah. And she's been, you know, even though we only saw Jermaine getting it, she's been getting it too.
And there is abuse, like they abuse him, but we never see the mom acting I guess we do, but like we don't see a lot of them. So like what is their deal? What do you think is behind all of what they're doing?
Well,
they don't seem embarrassed, they're not holding him away, they are abusing him, but they're not doing anything like actively completely malicious. Because they leave him with babysitters, they don't like...
Well, that's where I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you're talking about Jamie Presley earlier. This could come out of Greg Garcia's My Name is Earl / Raising Hope universe. Yeah. I mean, like, this family
could.
And where there's nothing malicious about it. They're just that kooky kind of white trash family that lives down the road. That
Darnell, hey, go get the baby.
Yeah.
I know he's 21. Get him to buy the beer.
Yeah, exactly. And something like that. And where it's kind of just okay in existing in that world.
So, it's not a flaw because it's okay that they're accepting. But if we're going to paint them as kooky people, then we need to see more of the kook. I guess having cattle prod is kooky, but that's really the big one.
Yeah, it's pretty kooky.
But that seemed to be the one scene where we started to get this weird thing that, again, they never really addressed is... Can baby do things that adults do? Because it seemed like they were cattle prodding him to force him to not
stand
they
up.
Shouldn't stand up, but so it was implying that he was able to, and that was the way they stop him from his like this extreme abuse. And so, I got confused.
And
like,
next week we'll be watching the prequel to this movie to see how he got there. A la Benevolence and Magnificence. Conception.
Yeah.
Conception.
So, let me spin a yarn for you guys, if
please.
I may.
Please. I'm going to lean back.
Well, is this because you're knitting over there?
Yes. I'm a 21-year-old man who has three women that are... Well, I mean, it's assumed that they're related, but...
Well, no, it said they all have a different... They all were the mothers, okay. But they all had different dads. They didn't
so
mention that.
So, I get to get fed... I don't have to work, and occasionally someone comes in and bangs me. Do I complain? No, I don't.
Is that a yarn?
I take it. Back in 1973...
The Nor'easter.
I want to see this movie.
That was a storm brewing outside, and whatever this family's last name was did not...
Wadsworth.
The Wadsworth were ready to bang, and there was
sounds
no...
Sounds like a Stephen King, the beginning of a Stephen King story.
We went up to North Georgia to do the Apple Festival thing in LJ.
Sounds interesting. It sounded like
Maine. We were with a couple from Maine, and she said, "Oh yeah," a few times, and I like giddily like clapped to myself. I was like, "Yes, yeah, that's what we do out there." You know, you can't have everyone down here keeps jackets for 10 years, but up there we had 3 different jackets a year: one for work, one for play, and one for going to church.
That's good.
It was, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is like living." I told her that too. I was like, "This is like living in a Stephen King book."
What did she say?
And then she said, "It's like."
She went, "How would you like to go behind these apples and put one in my shitter?"
I feel a nor'easter in my asshole.
Oh lordy, something's blowing.
That'd be a southeaster.
Yeah. Something's blowing. Looks like it's me.
I feel a southeaster and up my skirt.
I got a chill in my vagina. Must be from all this wind blowing up there from. You stick it in me.
Oh, that road? I don't go down that road.
No, but you can go down my dirt road. Fred Gwynn, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Fred Gwynn.
The amazing Fred Gwynn. Fred Gwynn's going to stick around and do his Munsters impression.
He didn't have that accent in Munsters. Like,
thank goodness.
Yeah, a little.
Kind of, he still did though.
Cause did you ever watch the movie The Boy Who Could Fly?
Mm-mm.
It had
no. I watched good movies.
It's probably one of his last movies.
Lucy before. Deakins and Jay Underwood
and Fred Savage.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Bonnie Bedelia as the mom.
Oh man.
The only reason I mentioned this, it was on last night.
Oh okay.
But he was in it, and I told every time he came on, I was giggling. Jackson was like, "Why are you laughing?" I was like, "Well, he's in a movie called Pet Sematary that it's pretty funny because he has."
And My Cousin Vinny. Which he was supposed judge. To be Southern. I think there. He was the last. I think that was his.
It was his last movie.
Movie
yeah,
that's
right.
Where he's supposed to be Southern, though.
Yeah.
Southern Northern New England.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
But it is an interesting.
Oh, Fred Gwynne.
Yeah. God rest his soul.
Coming up next week, the All Fred Gwynne podcast,
where we review all of Fred Gwynne's movies
and every episode of The Munsters,
which is only like 30 episodes.
Which.
There's more than that.
I know.
And we played
Dragon. You know, they only did two seasons of that show, but it was like, they did like 60 episodes in
really?
A year.
I didn't realize that.
There's only like two episodes because they, Grandpa Munster was on a TV show once.
Al Lewis.
Yeah. Anyway.
He also hosts his own line of porn.
What?
Yeah, he has his own
Who?
Line. Grandpa Munster.
No.
Yes.
He's an old creeper.
No, he does not end them. He just, it's like, you know.
Produces them.
Yeah, he's
which
like,
makes
Grandpa
them a
Munster.
Creeper.
Grandpa
that doesn't
Munster's
make me feel any better.
Ass Blasters Volume 2.
They'll be like, Fred Gwynne, he's not in the porn, but he produces
Fred
it.
Fred Gwynne's Frankenstein Cocks Volume 8.
I like
it's
it.
All just John Bobbitt's.
Gross.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
The Baby, 1973, guys.
I want to see this movie remade with Steve Guttenberg, Ted Danson, and Tom Selleck.
Oh, I think.
Oh, my God. Three Men and the Baby.
Three Men and the Baby. Like, it's Zach Galifianakis as the baby.
Oh, my God. If we only had, like, our own access to, like, digital cameras, we would just make it tonight.
Yeah. Who would be?
Gina. We'll have to be
Zach
the Bambina. Baby.
The Bina?
The
Bambina?
The Bina.
The Bambino?
Yeah.
I did start to do some remake work as I was watching this, because I thought there were some options. I thought, and Maggie Gyllenhaal, because A, she kind of looks like her in a couple scenes, but also Anne's supposed to be our normal person, but at the same time, not quite. Maggie Gyllenhaal's got that. There's something maybe a little
who
off
would be
in about.
Aldi.
Alda?
Alda.
Alba?
Jamie Presley.
Alba. Yeah, Jamie Presley. So
okay.
Jermaine would be.
Who has really terrible hair? Kesha.
Well, you can.
Kesha says she had sex with a ghost.
Oh, I would imagine.
We could do the hair for Minnie.
Who was.
Minnie Driver.
Who's the girl who played Catwoman?
Halle Berry.
Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway. I guess I hear her being Jermaine.
Really?
Because did you ever see her at the end of.
Love and Drugs?
Katie Holmes.
Brokeback Mountain?
In the Brokeback Mountain, that look on her face. In the wig as she's telling Heath Ledger what happened to him. That just that look on her face is like, she could play crazy.
Mm. And then Dame Judi Dench. As the baby.
Oh, Eddie yeah. Izzard. Eddie Izzard as the mom.
No, Stalker
Eddie
Channing.
Izzard as the baby.
Stalker Channing as the mom.
Yeah.
I was really thinking of that one.
Yeah.
No, I think that would be a good role for to get Bieber into it and get a little of the young crowd.
Go ahead and just kill off his
this
career.
This is definitely a PG-13 movie.
You know what's funny is that we could do that. And then,
Bieber
and,
as the baby.
And then we could become the most popular filmmakers as we announced the film that killed Justin Bieber's career.
We can officially say we could, like, just surreptitiously and cynically destroy his career.
We could just pose on the cover of Entertainment Weekly as our like feet on him, like we just like had stabbed him like some kind of beast.
It's kind of like Homeland.
I think we could really get. I think Billy Bob Thornton is Dennis.
Yeah,
just because.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to. Who's the creepiest guy that we can think of? Billy Bob Thornton usually.
Yes, we'll take him.
Who plays the baby?
Justin.
That's
Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, that was our serious choice.
Well, no,
I'm kidding.
Have one.
I know.
I thought last night. I thought last night. I never came
life?
Up with one.
Channing.
Well, I did think Benjamin Button in the one scene where they talked about baby
about
was
Benjamin
born. They
Button.
Said baby was born backwards.
Yes.
And so I was trying to think. So is he getting younger? But no, they didn't go with that angle either.
No, right. I have that down here too about that.
Oh, this movie didn't make F. Scott Fitzgerald.
It's not. I think that would have been interesting though, if they just couldn't have done the effects. So they just chose to take like 1 year out of baby's life when he was 21.
So yeah. Baby. So after this swinging
not
party.
Not the mama.
After the swinging party,
for that.
Anne has kidnapped baby and taken him to her house where they're obviously.
I feel like anytime we talk about the party, like we should actually be like weirdly
swinging
dancing during it, like,
and making like laughing jokes. Yeah. Like the camera zooms and we're like, "That's what I call a baby killer."
Shocker to me.
So they go to Anne's house where her mother-in-law.
It's a really nice house, by
mother-in-law
the
lives with her. Where obviously very nicely well dressed white men are doing work
under. They're putting in a pool.
Putting in a pool.
Putting in a pool.
Or digging in the dirt at night.
Yeah.
I think they were digging
I'm pretty
dirt.
Sure putting in a pool.
Putting in a pool. Yeah. And is then the family.
Is that a euphemism?
Nope.
The family realizes that baby's missing. Wouldn't you check her house first?
Well, they
especially if she's sending you pictures?
But do, yes. But they do, but they don't know where she lives, but they figured out pretty easily.
They could have used the internet.
They said, yeah. I don't know why they just didn't do it. Why didn't she just use her cell phone? When
we gotta go to the library and look up the home ownership. It just, goes to, the town.
It just goes to show how far we've come in 40 years. Like, it just seems like...
How even far have we come in 40 years?
It seems like... Well,
that would have had more impact if you said, how far have we come in 5 years?
But even 40 years ago, I would have said, like... Oh, I will just go to where she works, find out where she lives, go there,
in
get my child back.
In 1973, 40 years before that would have been 1933. That's how long that is.
But I will say that much, though. But the 40 yeah. years between then and now, there have been more changes than in the 40 years between.
Yeah. Why don't you tell that to the Nazis, Drew? Things have changed a lot.
For Godwin's
the Nazis
law.
Are gone.
What's that mean? What's Godwin's law? It's Jennifer Godwin?
Yep.
From, oh, man. Mm-hmm. This would be good.
Yep, go ahead.
That's our Godwin's law.
Godwin's law is that anytime you compare some, like anytime someone brings up Nazis or Hitler in an argument, you automatically lose.
I like that.
Yeah,
that's I'm gonna Godwin's start law. Going ahead and sabotaging every argument of mine with that.
So you lose every Hitler. Argument. Well, I mean, at least it makes it shorter for us because you always eventually lose. So if you just brought the bat, yeah, just take a dive.
You know who else hated the Jews? Hitler.
Yeah, and Brian.
Well,
I was gonna say who else? Who was the first person?
Nah, that was the joke.
You know who else has sex with children? Hitler.
Well, then you lost that argument.
I almost could not get that out.
I just think like, you used present tense.
It's funny that you use that. Wow. That's a funny turn of words you just used. I've used that many of times. It's funny that I could not get that out. I almost could not get that out. Rigor has locked things down.
Oh, man.
So I did wonder, though, how did they find the house so quickly? Like, in one scene, they're like, we don't know where she lives.
And
GPS. Then they go drive around. Oh, well, there's her car. Let's try that
right.
house.
It's a small town.
To go back to what we were talking
Tyler's
about.
Like, I'm not going to make any more child rapist jokes. And then he, like, as soon as he makes one, he goes back to his iPad. He's like, let me get all my other ones out. Child rape.
Well,
if ever there's a movie that I was going to make child rape jokes about, it's the baby. I can't believe I just called him out.
So at one point, Anne, I believe, says to the baby, let's try something a little more grown up today.
Mm.
Brian, what did you think of that line? Is that one you're going to use in the future?
I hope to.
How many children were lured into your basement using that line?
Not many, because usually...
a few.
Usually, I don't have to go that far. Usually it's like the video games and stuff that just gets them right
just
away.
Gets them right away.
Like, man.
Children love candy.
It's well, yeah, they do.
Let's get to the climax of this fucker. No.
No, it's fine. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
fine.
It was a strange, kind of creepy movie, but not really a horror movie. So
no, let's talk about that.
Climax.
Do we need more
about the fact that the mom actually uses the term Judas Priest?
Yeah,
she's like, oh, Judas Priest, and then Rob Halford comes out and he's like, I'm your baby lover.
Awesome.
I did wonder if she was like, I wonder if we were going to get like some weird, because I didn't know what angle we were going to get to at the end when she took baby, if we were going to get some weird satanic ritual black mass thing, because the mother-in-law looked like she was wearing like some sort of robe
totally.
Kind of deal, so I didn't know if we were going to go there.
Oh my God, I jumped 3 feet, my leg's broken.
I love that she announces it, so she's like, oh my God, my legs, they are definitely broken.
And the
Let
fact,
me light a cigarette.
Lots of, like, the longest sneaking around sequence I've ever seen in a movie.
I was washing dishes while I was like sort of watching this part, and I kept trying to like, did I miss something?
No.
Is something happening? No, they're infiltrating.
They were setting up their plan of attack.
Yeah, well, it felt like a like Dirty Dozen sort of situation.
They were ready for it.
And we saw, yeah, one thing they weren't ready for is to show us any of the kills. We saw a dead body.
We found a dead body.
Someone
right.
wanders in with a knife on her in her back.
And then they're strangely upset that someone has killed their other family members for sneaking into their house. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, who stabbed you?
Why
for
did
sneaking
this happen?
Into a stranger's house? Even though she stole our 21-year-old man child.
Is that self-defense at that point, or is that just murder?
I guess it's self-defense.
No, you kidnap someone, they
right.
come. Well, but, I mean,
oh,
stand your ground. Stay in your ground.
You got that great casino
but
in.
Weren't they
your house is your castle. Castle law.
But weren't they trying to kill her earlier?
Yeah.
At their place?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just like a big...
They gave her roofie?
Yeah.
Then we get the sweet casino scene at the end where she's still alive and they start to bury her. I was like, Joe Pesci at the end of Casino? I was like, God damn, that's the worst.
That's fucked up.
Have you seen the Ryan Reynolds movie where he gets buried?
Casino?
Is it any good?
It's okay.
It's the scenic thing. Like The Vanishing with Kiefer Sutherland. I was like, God, that was a horrific.
No, not The Vanishing. No, that was the first Vanishing. Yeah. Is what you want to watch.
Okay.
Not George Sluzer's remake that he made. It is, but Kiefer Sutherland's in.
Yes, he's the.
But you don't want to watch that one. You want to watch the guy who made that one, his original one. His original one in, what is he, Danish, I think?
Oh, really? Is it better?
It's considered one of the best of that. But it doesn't have Sandra Bullock in it. It's almost the exact same movie.
You know what's better than The Vanishing? The Hitcher.
The original Hitcher? I like the original Hitcher. Eric Red is an underrated horror filmmaker from that 80s period. Body Parts.
I love The Hitcher, which was put Rutger off.
Rutger Hauer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What, in The Hitcher, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Timothy, Sean Bean, although Sean Bean was awesome.
See Timothy Dalton?
Thomas Howe, who would this year made an appearance
Timothy Dalton? As a crane operator in the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, yeah. But no.
How the Mighty Have Fallen.
Body Parts though with Jeff Fahey, where he gets the arm of a serial killer.
Oh, right, right. That's like the Jessica Alba movie, The Hand or The Eye.
Yeah.
She gets the eye.
Body Parts was a remake of a Asian film.
Wait a minute, you're telling me all they're doing is making remakes now?
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
Before we, I know this has been scatterbrained, but before we get out, I want to, so that we can keep our streak alive. At 18 minutes in the movie, there's a monologue where a woman is ostensibly on the phone, and she's talking, and it's just a one-sided conversation. The monologue slash dialogue, I guess, there sounds eerily like the dialogue in 1977's Halloween. John Carpenter!
And that actress looked like one of the actresses from Friday the 13th. I kept on thinking it was the first. It's like, what about the boy?
Yeah.
The boy in the lake.
The main character. Yeah.
I'm not stretching.
If you go back and watch that dialogue sequence, the sort of put upon, like, I want to talk to you, but I'm kind of flirty, but I'm also the sort of whiny. It has that to it. So I would say definite John Carpenter reference.
I'm going to tell you guys this.
Paul.
Listen, this may take away my horror movie
cred. Lester got lucky,
but. I have never seen Halloween.
Shut the fuck up.
If I hadn't,
but I don't know who John Carpenter is.
If I hadn't, at this point in the podcast, I probably would have had to. All right, I'm gonna check this thing out.
These guys talk about this movie a lot.
And then you give me that guy because I was like, dude, that was just not good. I don't even know what you're talking about.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It was boring.
Rob Zombie did a much better job.
For next week's podcast, I'm going to find those reviews on Amazon and read them.
Okay. The ones that had not seen?
No, people who was like, I don't know what all those John Carpenter people are talking about. This movie is awesome. 5 stars.
It is hard to go watch the old one, the original one, in theaters now because audiences have that preconditioned, you know, everything's supposed to be funny now, and so you can't watch the original Halloween in those, you know, in a crowd.
Do you remember when we went several years ago? We went to go see the movie on Halloween, right? Wasn't it the day before? It was near Halloween. And this guy who was obviously high on some sort of drug giggled through the whole movie, and it got annoying. And towards the end of the movie, I was just like, "Hey, dude, shut up."
And he's like, this is America, right?
No, he shut up. But he did the sort of like dwindle giggle. He was like, and then stopped. He didn't do it again. I think people were grateful.
Yeah. It's hard now. It's just hard to watch it now because.
And Drew has done it, and now you have to do it. When we go see a movie, you have to tell someone to shut up.
I killed it in Silent House.
Did you?
He made it silent.
Teenagers. Hey, it's in teenagers. I thought he was a cop. They did. But they shut down.
It was awesome. It was like a grand.
I was impressed too.
Yeah.
Well, it was like I gave a whole speech.
Well, here's the thing.
Drew. What was weird about it was that Drew had remembered to bring a lectern with him, and so when he stood up, he actually left. And I was like, "Oh, Drew left, so Gina and I are gonna have to finish the movie." He rolled in a lectern in front of the screen, and then Citizen Kane said, "You will not."
Guess what?
This is my movie.
So my paper loses $1 million this year, and losing $1 million next year, I guess I'll be broke in 120 years.
Awesome. Right. Citizen Kane. Who knew we'd bring Citizen Kane into this movie?
That I did not expect.
Okay.
Thank you, Tyler.
We're at the end of The Baby, and what's the twist? Her husband is brain damaged, and is also a baby.
And so do you think... playmate. But it got weird. But even then, it got weird with like the like
kissing him very, on the mouth.
Like both kissing them both, and then they had
double teamed by.
She's totally gonna have a three way with these.
Yeah, and the mother in law just sits around okay with it.
She's like, yes, yes, it's the dream I've had.
So
since 1967.
Is this movie better if we have more? Like, if the reveal comes earlier, we have more with this sort of weird, like, I don't know. I don't know what else you could do with it, but just seeing them live their life.
No, I think there could have been. You mentioned it earlier about it being they needed to be a little more crazier. They've been like, I think that's what it needed. It was just to get it a little crazier. The end, the twist at the end would have been fine if I wish it had been crazier. And let's be honest, titties.
Well, I think it needed. I think it needed to, like I said earlier. I think it needed to be. I think it needed to be more exploitative and more prurient. I think that would have. I mean, I think that was something that it needed.
Like it needed that sort of dichotomy of like, well, it's a movie about an adult baby, but all these other people are naked,
right?
Like it has all this weird adult stuff in this movie about a child thing, person.
Well, I mean, that's what's going to get into that creepy, creepy. And I use the word a lot, but transgressive vibe of like they're having, like, should they be doing this?
It,
and
so or they become more baby-like around him. Like it would have been weirder to see like outside of when they're like. People obviously have a weird attachment to the baby when they're around him. So to have them sort of, like you say, become regressive and regress when they're around him, but be perfectly adult outside of where they are around him, that would have made for a much more interesting movie. I like that idea.
My theory is that this movie...
Hypothesis.
My hypothesis is this movie is just the filler between a porn. And they just cut out the porn.
So...
Like when all those longing looks, like when she bends down, she's like...
Let's try something adult today.
Physical exercise. I enjoy physical exercise. They go into the car, and you know it's 69 and all sorts.
Well, so it's like that.
It's like a clam bake.
That sexless version of the Star Wars porn.
Right. Oh my god. So it's like that. It's like we saw the good part taken out, and then the mom comes home. And then there's a three way with the baby, and then the babysitter, of course, gets railed by the baby. Then the cattle prod gets stuck up someone's ass, and is railed by the baby. And then the party happens, and there's an orgy.
And we don't even want to talk about the dark scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the director. That was the director. The first guy who drew the darts.
Performer from
Takashi Miike was the guest director on that scene. Oh, and it just gets...
It's like that little guy that's like...
It's a horrible. It's a horrible. What did he say in Hostel?
You lose he said, all your money.
What is that what he says?
He says, this place... something about, like, you could spend all
you
can
do
money.
It without doing the accent.
You could spend
you
all
could
your
spend
money.
All your money. Yeah, you could spend all your money. You could spend all your money.
You could spend all your money here.
God damn it. Yikes. All right.
I did like one of my last I did write this line down because I thought it was one that summed the mother up pretty well. Is when they were trying to go after baby after she kidnapped him and they saw her and you saw baby looking out the window and they go, it's okay. And they get in the car and she slashed the tires and they're like, she slashed the tires and the mother goes, she thinks of everything.
I miss
she
that
thought
line.
To slash her tires. That was it. The rest of the movie, she hasn't been that resourceful.
She's been pretty out and out. I'm weirdly into this child.
She's much better than you guys when you took her up the stairs, looked as if she even was looking, and brought her back down the same stairs.
Or left her in a garage full of saws where she could get her...
And said, no one's going to look for you because everyone saw you drunk and leave. No, everyone saw them take you up, take her upstairs. I mean, everything you've done
except
here
Dennis,
was a
Dennis
terrible
is like,
plan.
Well, guess what? You and I are going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to do it with this lady.
Because he's a skin freak. Self-proclaimed
oh
skin
my
freak.
God,
oh,
we're missing
a line.
I'm a self-proclaimed skin freak.
Best slash worst slash best again pickup line. I'm just a skin freak. What the fuck does that mean?
That doesn't make me feel better, Leatherface.
No. Yeah.
It's like,
I like skin on a woman. All right. Not like all those people who don't like skin.
I'm not
it's
Uncle
like,
Frank from Hellraiser.
Like, okay, Ed Gein. I'm gonna leave you alone now. Because he was
skin suit.
I got
you know,
it. Skin suit.
Okay,
I knew.
Wisconsin.
I acted like he doesn't know. See, I acted like he didn't know.
Oh, Brian's the stupid one.
The only one talking about is sex and great. Why don't you go back home to your trailer? All right, so do we recommend this film? We do. I think
yeah,
we said earlier.
I do.
Watch the baby, guys.
I think don't
it's
think
so strange.
Do not think of it as a horror movie. I mean, it's a well-paced '70s movie. Like
it's a cult, strange. Cult
I suggest
movie.
If this movie had Clint Eastwood in it, it'd be
a
crazy
monkey?
Yeah. Every which way but rattle.
I'm going to give you a game to play. During the baby, when you're watching it and you're strangely aroused during the non-sex they have, go ahead and bang. Watch it bang during the parts where you think they would bang, and then finish watching it. And do that.
Okay. Brian, of course, watched this movie with his son.
No, I didn't. I did watch it with your mom.
Serbian filmed.
Yeah, Serbian filmed. Bam. I'm
going to cut that out. Serbian filmed that movie.
All right, I'll cut
hashtag,
it out. Let's
hashtag Serbian film.
Hashtag
I'll cut it out. I'll cut it out if you want me to.
Why?
Because you're tired of it.
I'm the one who opened up the door for it. I made jokes, too. It's okay. They all know I'm not raping children. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Let's end on that low note.
We'll do something for it. Never
very
done.
Very low note.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Wrap it up. Let's go.
It's fine.
You don't have to.
Why would I not? She's been on birth control since I met her. I don't have to wrap that shit up.
I was going
to
say, well, I mean, also boys can't conceive.
Touche.
All right, last one.
All right. All right, well, guys, go see the baby. All right, shut the fuck up. That's enough.
Where are you going to see it? Is it a revival?
Huh?
Go to your television.
Go see the baby.
Go see the baby at your local Cineplex.
Metroplex.
Man, I totally wish that I even thought of it earlier, and I could have totally acted like I watched Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend, which I used to love as a child, and I could have totally acted like...
That's
so this
movie
about
now.
The dinosaur, right? And you guys are like, no.
Well, I think I don't know if we said it earlier, but we all thought that we were watching the wrong movie at one point. Like,
Up to three quarters through the movie, I thought, did I? Well, I'm going to have to sit out this week because I watched the wrong movie.
I think we should do a podcast where we know what we're supposed to watch and then just come in here. Well, that's pretty much what every podcast involves.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think we would know if we watched the movie where the dinosaur showed up, though. And William Catt. I think I would have known.
Is
then.
Baby on Netflix Instant Queue?
I don't think so. Sean Young, William Catt, and Baby.
Who's William Catt?
He's the like squiggly doctor on the cartoon Comedy Central show.
No, he's the Greatest American Hero.
Okay.
Son of
who's also in Carrie.
Yeah,
wasn't okay. Dr. Katz
son
the
of
one on
Della, Della Street and who was Perry Mason's secretary? I believe it was
Della Street.
She's on a blue.
And
singer?
Jason Street is Della Street's son. So
and De La Soul is the sons of Della Street.
And Soul Asylum had an album that came out a year after De La Soul.
I actually can make a De La Soul reference to Auburn, but I'm not going to right now.
I don't get it.
Trey Mason, the running back for Auburn, is a son of
a De La Soul member.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. You gonna start watching football now?
No.
Okay.
Now, if you just said he was a son of PM Dawn. Member, then I would have been all over that shit.
Oh, give us a few bars.
Set adrift on memory, bliss of you.
Awesome.
I'd die without you. Christina Applegate, I'm in love with you. All right, that's my set adrift on memory, bliss.
I think we should leave on that one. That was a good one. That was good.
All right, that's it.
I like that.
Okay.
We're done now.
And
I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
And we're done
on
the Harlow Podcast.
See you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode. The Horrible Podcast and all content on thehorriblepodcast.com, copyright 2013. No content or any portion thereof may be copied or redistributed without the express consent of the copyright holders. The Horrible Podcast is not affiliated with any movie, television, book, music, or publishing-related company. All properties are copyright and trademark of their respective owners. All rights reserved. The Horrible Podcast is a production of Scenic City Cinema. Thanks again for listening.
It's just a joke. It's a, you know, you're mad
it's just a
that
meme.
You're mad that Obama won because you hate black people. So I mean, it's just
I have to cut that out. This movie, this episode isn't coming out until like January
because we are going to do Christmas ones.
Yeah, you're right.
Next week, Christmas. So.
Well, no, we gotta get. We just said we gotta get in the mood first. I don't know if I can talk Christmas until it's like Christmas.
Why don't we just go ahead and go to Walmart or Target where they already put it on?
We'll record it in the podcast
in the back corner of the.
I did listen to some Christmas music to calm down before the election. I was like, gotta just like cool out for the storm that's about to brew. So
did you pace during it?
Well, no, I was listening to the Christmas music.
Oh. I told myself that I would not watch what was going on, and then someone put online like the election drinking game. Every time you hear. Battleground, and I was like, I walked by the TV once and heard Battleground three times.
Awesome.
Next time you see, you know, a BP ad on Karl Rove's head.
Next time Wolf Blitzer weirdly announces, stay tuned for a scene in projection.
Why do people make so much fun of Wolf Blitzer? Is it just his name is Wolf Blitzer?
It's his hipster glasses the other night, I think.
It's like if my name was,
but he is the go-to.
It's like my name was Vagina Conqueror. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It just
A, it would be untrue, and B, it would be pretty funny.
It's pretty true, dude.
You should change your name.
It's my wife's vagina is a wreck from basically.
You
like,
have raped and
the
pillaged.
Attila the Hunnage I've done on that that VJJ.
Attila the Tunnage?
Yeah, Attila the Fuckage.
When I was a kid, I thought Attila the Hun was a woman because Attila sounded like a female name.
I just thought it was because of the Hun. Oh, Hun.
Maybe.
Attila, his mom.
Oh, Hun.
Attila the Hun. Hey.
I think we have a new movie idea. Girl. Attila the Hun.
Oh, my God. And it stars Adam Sandler and Kevin James.
Yes.
Attila the Hun.
Is there a role for Rob Schneider?
Attila the Hun.
Of course there's a role for Rob Schneider.
Okay.
He plays a sword.
Hey, guys. Can we resurrect Victoria Jackson's career?
I don't know. Are we making an anti-Michael Moore movie?
Did you see her tweets from the election?
No, because I don't follow crazy people.
She's like, I can't stop crying. America has died. America has died.
She was on Celebrity Fit Club.
America Ferrera had died that night.
Oh, I took that the wrong way. The completely wrong way.
Yeah, she was on Celebrity Fit Club, and I was like, oh, she's not so bad. And I was like, oh, yeah, she is.
Ted Nugent's right.
That's a pretty good one.
Victoria Jackson?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember me in Casual Sex with Andrew Dice Clay? I was funny then.
And was no, she wasn't.
Remember when I was like a...
Was she ever funny?
I never really liked her on SNL.
She was just the ditzy blonde.
Yeah.
But I never liked her on SNL.
And resented the shit out of her. I think a lot of, like how she is now, she resents, like she wants to be the intellectual Republican because she resents that everyone...
I always thought she was ridiculously stupid.
It's like, well, you did that. So,
well,
you built that.
Guys, this has been the Victoria Jackson podcast has been amazing.
Yep. Let's just review her movies from now on.
So three of them. What other movies has she been in?
Wasn't she in Casual Sex 2 and Casual Sex 3?
The straight to DVD ones.
Yeah.
Were they all straight to DVD? Wasn't she in the anti-Michael Moore one? Like the America? The one with every right-wing one?
Christmas? Like, the American Carol?
Carol. Wasn't she in that at some point?
I watched it, but I don't remember.
Wasn't the guy from Chuck in that?
Like, yeah. He's a big conservative.
Yeah.
He's a big conservative.
He's a huge, yeah.
And a Christian conservative.
Yeah. So
his career's over. What's he done since Chuck?
Chuck.
He was the voice in Tangled.
Oh, really? Well, you know they record that like 5 years in advance, so it's probably before they realized he was a nut.
Yeah, because he like one
Disney,
interview
before Disney.
He went through
that.
a huge interview one time that like where he decried how liberal Hollywood is. Like, yeah, I had to keep it secret because you know how liberals in Hollywood won't let conservatives get any jobs. It was like, oh, that was my moment where I was off the Chuck wagon.